You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This Friday in Wellington, the New Zealand Council of Trade Unions will be hosting a roundtable on a just transition to a zero emissions economy. The roundtable will include representatives from business, unions, environmental groups and government, with the goal of discussing how New Zealand can prepare and secure that the transition away from fossil fuels will be fair and democratic. With recent announcements from the government signalling an intention to take real steps towards a zero carbon economy, the Council of Trade Unions aims to ensure working people are protected and prepared as New Zealand's economy landscape begins to shift. Our producer Ella spoke with Sam Huggard, the National Secretary at the Council of Trade Unions, and she started by asking him to explain why the CTU felt this roundtable was necessary.
Well, we're really excited by the roundtable we're having on Friday. It's our sort of first attempt really to start to properly define what a just transition could look like in Aotearoa New Zealand. We've got some really strong political support for a just transition with the incoming government, all three parts of the government. But what we haven't really done properly, I think, as a country is be quite specific about what a just transition is, who's going to be affected by climate change, what some of the what we would call distributional effects of climate policies are, and making sure that we've got a plan to support workers through the inevitable change that's coming. So that's really the focus of the day. The science around climate change isn't negotiable. There is no future in fossil fuels long term. But what's negotiable really is the pathway that we get to a low carbon economy, and we're really keen to make sure that the particularly low income communities and workers and students and others are supported through that change as sort of a main population group, but also directly affected workers in industries like oil and gas and coal have a particular plan for themselves as well.
What are some of the concerns that surround transitioning in terms of how it could be an unequal increase inequality, really?
Well, we've had some experience in New Zealand around big economic change, particularly in the 1980s when we had a major change, obviously, to our economy from 1984 onwards, which saw a whole lot of people lose their jobs in former government enterprises, which were privatised and corporatised in the manufacturing sector when the tariffs came off, and a whole bunch of other changes which were very quick, and there was no plan in place to both support workers through that change, but also a plan to address affected communities. And so we had lots of regional communities up and down the country who had one or two big key employers like a freezing works or a mill or a big government forestry site and so on. And when those industries closed down, it was major dislocation for those communities and those families, many of whom haven't recovered since. And so we want to make sure that as we're making the necessary changes we need to address climate change, that we have a plan in place for those communities, and that we get started on the planning early, so it's not a rush shock decision in 10 or 15 years' time. But we do have a little bit of time, not a heap, but we do have a little bit of time to try and get this right. And so that's really what we're trying to achieve.
What could be done to ensure that those things don't happen?
Well, if you took an example that of say up in Taranaki, where there's obviously big oil and gas exploration, and if we are wanting to support Taranaki to transition away from that, then there's really what we talk about in just transition is two main features, really. The first is economic diversification, so having a plan in place to support the growth of new industries or the boosting up of existing industries who've got more potential. And so Taranaki themselves, through their regional economic development arm, have identified that they want to look at clean energy, the Māori economy, their tourism profile, and advanced food manufacturing as four options that they could put resource in to try and diversifying away from fossil fuels. So that's great. And there's support in place through things like the Provincial Growth Fund and the Green Investment Bank from government to help them on that. So that's the first part. But the second part is not just economic diversification, but a dedicated plan to support workers through change. And what we want to avoid is what's happened often in New Zealand recent years is that when there's layoffs or redundancies or changes, then you're kind of the response is just go and put your name on the job board at MSD and hope for the best. I mean, I'm oversimplifying, I'm being a bit harsh, but rather than dealing with economic change as an individual thing that individuals have to go and see their career planner and put the name on the job board at MSD, we want to have a sort of a whole of industry approach where you would look at the skills and expertise and talents of a whole industry which needs to transition and try and map that against other parts of the economy which could make good use of those skills and have a plan in place to support that change through things like paid retraining, things like recognition of prior learning, so assessing the skills people have got and giving them the relevant qualifications if they haven't got those already, relocation assistance, some income smoothing as they're going between jobs, and also trying to do as much of this this transition work in terms of retraining and redeployment while people are still employed, so they're not suffering an economic shock. You know, they're going from a good paying job to another good paying job without a break in the middle.
The unique thing about this situation is that ultimately someone is going to have to lose money in this transition because our economy right now is based off of cheap fossil fuels. And if we're talking about getting away from that, who's going to bear the cost? I wonder what you have to say about how to prevent individuals from bearing that cost.
That's right. It's not fair that individuals and families bear the brunt of economic change. And in fact, we had a report from the OECD last year, which compared us with a whole bunch of other countries and found that we are one of the worst countries for really workers having to shoulder most of the costs of economic change themselves when there's restructuring, redundancies and so on, compared to other countries who have much better support mechanisms. So we don't want workers to have to bear the brunt of that. I guess there's two points, really. We would want to see a big role for the government, but alongside that needs to be an adult conversation about how we raise revenue in this country. And the tax working group is kick-starting that with some discussions around broadening our tax base. But we're saying to the government, government has said to the tax working group that one option would be to come back with some revenue-neutral policies. Mm. Whereas we actually think, no, it's really important. If we've got compressing social needs, we need to be growing the pie effectively of the resources that we need to raise in order to address some of the big issues that we're facing in terms of the public services need, retaining good teachers and nurses, for example, as we've seen recently, but also having the resource to invest in worker adjustment plans for workers like those up in Taranaki. But it's not just government who needs to play a role. We're also really keen to see employers in industry step up as well, and they have benefited from New Zealand's resources sector, both in terms of coal and oil and gas. And so we're also looking for them to play a role in not just externalising the cost of the transition onto government and taxpayers. Mm-hmm. It would be fine if we had a progressive tax system where we were, you know, raising enough resources, but we don't. We've reduced our tax approach over years, and we have regressive taxes like GST, which unfairly punish the poor. So we also think it's really important that employers play their role in the financial transition as well, not just government.
Do you see the possibility of renewables creating jobs?
Absolutely. And look, I was aware globally last year, I think, or perhaps the year before, was the first year where the global investment in renewables outstripped global investment in fossil fuels. So the changing nature of investment in our energy base it's already underway. And we saw the guardians of the New Zealand Super Fund, who oversee the sort of the Cullen Fund, they've shifted 40% of their profile last year away from fossil fuels into other industries. So yeah, renewables has got a really big role to play. I mean, we're lucky in New Zealand, in a sense, compared to, say, Australia, where we already have, obviously, 85% of our energy generated by renewables. We have lots of long, fast-flowing lakes, particularly in the South Island. But in order to get from 85% up to the 100% renewable, which is the goal by 2035, then we do need to be making more use of tidal, solar and wind in particular. And I guess in terms of the workforce planning around those industries, one of the challenges that we've got, which we want to debate a bit at our forum on Friday, is that a lot of the jobs in those legacy industries like coal and oil and gas have been really good, well-paying jobs, which have supported families and communities for generations and have created a lot of pride in their industries, have supported whole communities around them. And we want to make sure that when new jobs are created in areas like renewables, that they are good, regular wage and salary jobs as well, because there's an increasing trend in New Zealand for what we would call insecure or precarious employment. Lots of, you know, self-employed contractors or part-time temporary work and so on. So we'd really like to see a focus on good jobs and decent work in the new industries that emerge. And government's got an ability to influence that through things like the funding that they give out from their Green Investment Bank and their Provincial Growth Fund.
Does the element of time concern you? Because often in energy transitions, it takes decades. With climate change, we don't really have decades.
No. In a way, it absolutely does concern me. I guess we have a little bit more of, luxury is not the right word, but there's less of an urgent crisis in New Zealand because we have a significant renewable base already through hydro. So for us, it's just getting that extra 15% across the line in terms of the remainder and working out some of the issues around storage, that obviously coal is a very easy thing to store to fire up Huntly Power Station when there's one in every 5 years is a dry year in terms of the lakes. So, you know, that's an issue which needs to be sorted out. But I think that the energy transition which we see is happening in Australia and large parts of South Asia and elsewhere, that's in a way more of a, in terms of global emissions, that's more of a crisis point really would be those overseas. And so we've got a head start on that in New Zealand already.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.